beautiful Sunday. It's a Melusis Sunday. The Fan in New York, 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Get back to your calls a little bit. Mentioned it earlier on in the program. We're going to talk a little pickleball, something I want to get into over the course of this summer. And buddies of mine have done it all over the place. And we're being joined by right now by Claude Okin, the president of Sport Time out there in Randall's Island. Also, Joe Siegel joins us, the senior managing director. Claude, Joe, Mark Melusis with you. Thanks for the time this morning. Certainly appreciate it.
Hey, Mark. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, you got it. Joe, let's start with you in terms of the evolution of pickleball and what you're doing and what you guys are doing out there on Randall's Island right now.
Well, the evolution of pickleball has just been explosive since COVID, because it was a safe activity during that difficult time. People were playing outside, and so many people got hooked on the game that once that pandemic kind of ended, the game was brought indoors, and there were a lot of operators that were adding indoor courts to the either existing facilities or building new ones. And Sport Time basically kind of joined that initiative by adding pickleball courts to existing tennis courts, including at Randall's Island. And then more importantly, we decided to start Sport Time Pickleball. And over the last 12 months, we've built five dedicated facilities just for pickleball, two in New Jersey, another in Long Island, and two in Westchester. So it's really been explosive in terms of participation and interest in the game.
And Claude, when you look at the evolution of the sport, hitting upon what Joe just mentioned, in terms of where it is right now and how it all began, where you look at how important is it to introduce it, because you've introduced obviously juniors as well, where you're looking for the younger player, the 10 to 15 year olds, and introducing the sport early on, correct?
Yeah, I'm even younger than that, and kids as young as 4 or 5 or 6 who start usually in camp, because it's a super popular camp activity. And actually was popular in camps before it was a nationwide, you know, epidemic. But, yeah, we think that's our special sauce, Mark, that we've been in the junior development business for 40 years. And we've had the John McEnroe Tennis Academy at many of our sites, including our flagship in New York, since 2010. So, we've developed thousands of junior players in ball striking sports. And we don't think pickleball will be any different. We're hoping that it becomes a college sport. It's already becoming a middle school and high school activity and sport. But, you know, with the trajectory of the professional game, seems pretty likely that it will be a matter of time until pickleball is an Olympic sport and a collegiate sport. And obviously then we hope to be developing thousands of young pickleball players, just like we do young tennis players, as a sport of opportunity. They could, you know, it's healthy to recreate. It's a lot better than video games. And also a pathway to education, which oftentimes high school and college sports are for kids and families.
Claude, can I get you on the phone with my kids? I'm trying to get them out of the house. Play a little basketball, play a little lacrosse, a little hockey. And I got to introduce pickleball to them. Where do you see, Claude, and then Joe, where do you see, Claude, that you mentioned it? You know, if we go down 15, 20 years from now, like what differentiates the great pickleball player from the great tennis player?
It's a good question. And then we have this other sport knocking at the door, which is called either padel or paddle, depending where you were born, which is going to try to steal some ball strikers from the best athletes. So tennis has always had a challenge getting the best athletes. I'm watching the French Open this weekend, like many other people. Today's tennis players are amazing world-class athletes. That was probably not always the case. But clearly in our country, more of the best athletes are playing basketball, baseball, football, and tennis is in the hunt, because it's athletic prowess, speed, agility, size, strength, they all help a lot. It also helps to be a lefty, by the way. That's a unique, just like being a switch hitter in baseball helps. But, that's the goal, is to build generational talent and to have people attracted to that opportunity. So that's what we're trying to do.
Joe, how about yourself? What do you think would draw somebody to pick up, you know, whether it be pickleball or tennis?
Well, you know, I think the one that what I've seen, the primary difference with tennis and pickleball is, you know, myself, I'm personally a volleyball player. I grew up playing competitive volleyball my whole life. And I find that every time I'm on the pickleball court, I'm playing with quote unquote former athletes from just all over the map, hockey players, basketball players, soccer players, you name it. These great athletes have all found this great sport. And we're finding what makes it interesting is they're applying those special skills to pickleball. I'm a volleyball player. I'm used to spiking the ball, so I have a good overhead. We have tennis players that have great racket skills or paddle skills at the net. We have hockey players that are just lightning quick. So I think that, you know, it does attract players who have multi-sport backgrounds, and exactly which ones of those athletes are able to take those initial skills and apply it to become phenomenal pickleball players. It's a little hard to tell who that next great player is going to be. But it is obvious from looking at the pro game that the majority of the top players have come from tennis backgrounds because of the similarities that they see.
Now, when you look at Claude, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so I'm a tennis player. I've played tennis my whole life. That's how I got in the business. I played some college tennis, not at the level I had hoped, but a decent. And I love playing pickleball. I transitioned during the pandemic and played both sports, still more tennis, but I like them both. I hope that some of my tennis skills have translated. But in just the time that pickleball has sort of moved from being a rec sport to a pro sport to a phenomenon, you can see how the game has changed. It's way more aggressive. The dinking is more aggressive. The play through the kitchen is more aggressive. Like, it's becoming a game of speed, agility, and power, where it started off as more of a touch game. And the, you know, a lot of people thought in the beginning, oh, pickleball is for the second tier. You know, if you could really play tennis, you'll play tennis. But that's not really true anymore. Some people are choosing pickleball, and it's a physically demanding sport. Perhaps you've heard people are getting injured. They are, because it's not really a safety net from injury. It's quick cuts, quick turns, and on a hard surface. So for some people, maybe tennis is a safer sport. Pickleball is demanding.
Joe, do you look at it like Claude mentioned, in terms of, you know, could be Olympic sport down the line, you know, college, everything comes to, you think we go 20 years down the line here and pickleball has just as much participation as tennis?
Well, I definitely think, you know, that's certainly possible. And I think one of the reasons for that is, and I think tennis is trying to address this as well, that the one component about pickleball that's so unique is the social aspect. So when people go play tennis, you know, you never see more than four people, you know, renting a court or in a program. Usually with pickleball, they'll come with, you know, five, six, seven, eight people. Social open play is the most popular program in the pickleball kind of universe, where people come to play with lots of others at their level. Some of our clubs, like one of our clubs in New Jersey, has a lot of 18 courts. We have a lot of courts. And on a popular Saturday or Sunday morning, we'll have several hundred people dropping in to play social pickleball. And I think that's going to continue to contribute to the explosion of the game. And I think that, along with what Claude said about how the professional game's going and how that's going to trickle down to college, high school, middle school, et cetera, I think is going to continue to explode that participation to the point where it could very well match or exceed tennis 20 years from now.
You know, Claude, if we have, you know, and parents listen all the time to WFAN, and they want to, you know, a beautiful facility out there in Randall Island. I've been out there a number of times. If they want to get their young daughter or young son involved, how do they do it?
Well, we're easy to find. You just Google us, Sport Time Clubs. The website is sporttimeny.com. And we have 20 clubs all over Long Island. We're the largest operator in Long Island. We have the biggest. I'll brag for a second. Our New York City flagship, Sport Time Randall's Island, which we built with just private money on city property. It's our legacy gift to New York City for tennis and racket sports players. And it happens to be now the largest indoor club and training facility in the world. We spent $76 million building it. It's a tennis palace. And it's accessible to everybody, parks, permit holders, visitors, but especially the thousands of kids who train there every week. We welcome everyone. We have a partner charity and a scholarship program. About 2,000 kids come to Sport Time Randall's Island every week on school buses from New York City public and charter schools and play tennis for free for the entire school year. And hundreds more get scholarships into the John Macra Tennis Academy. So We basically try to welcome everybody and let kids and families who want to improve and change their lives through tennis and related sports do it, regardless of their socioeconomic circumstance. So we're super proud. Thanks for giving me a chance to brag, but easy to find us, sporttimeny.com, Sport Time Randall's Island.
No, you should brag. You're doing unbelievable work. Evolution of the game, giving everybody an opportunity to fall in love with the sport that that both of you gentlemen absolutely love. I love it as well. Just can't play it. Joe, let me ask you. you have the combine coming up, the John McEnroe Tennis Academy College Combine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Claude may want to take that one because he's really kind of focused more on the tennis side. So, Claude, I think you should jump in on that one.
Sure. So there are a bunch of combines around the country. They're basically college player cultivation events. I like to think ours is the best. It happens every late spring. And what happens is tennis coaches from some of the best programs in the country, D1 through D3, attend live and virtually. About 50 to 70 coaches come live. Another 100 or more come virtually. The kids come. They have to be rising sophomore, junior, or seniors. A lot of them are nationally ranked players. Some are local. And they go through a two-day combine, mostly on the tennis court, but also in the gym, basically showing coaches what they have, you know, how good they are, how they play, how they compete, how fast they are, how far they can jump, all the things coaches might want to know about both raw athletes and more cultivated ones. And then they get offers, not on site, but later on coaches will follow up. And we provide a package at the end of the combine that players can present to various colleges and universities with their game tape, with their UTR, which is one of the ranking systems. Of course, most of the kids have USTA rankings as well. So it's an opportunity. It's a great weekend, great for the kids, great for their parents. And it's held at our Port Washington Club, which was the first major tennis academy in the country, actually, was called the Port Washington Tennis Academy. It opened in 1964 in Long Island. And the McEnroe brothers, Vitas Gerulaitis, Tracy Austin, the youngest Grand Slam female champion in history, and many other famous players trained there in the 60s and 70s. We took that club over in 2022 and invested $8.5 million to make it new again. And it's a super busy place. And so it's sort of a historical irony or pride that we hold the combine there now. And, of course, John and Patrick and others come, and it's just a great event. And, again, easy to find online and an opportunity for rising sophomores through seniors to meet coaches. That's what it's all about.
Now, Joe, let me ask you. You know, we've never met, but, you know, I'm not in peak physical condition, right? So if I pick up a pickleball and start playing pickleball this summer, right, how long would it take? Like, we're not talking, I'm not, you know, 10, not 18, not 25, right? You know, I got three boys. How long does it take somebody that wants to get involved to kind of pick up the game?
Well, you know, Mark, it's funny you say that because about 10 days ago, we had an adult beginner clinic at one of our clubs on Long Island. We were short a coach, so they had asked me to fill in. So I gladly did that. And I had five adults who had never played before. And the first thing I told them was at the end of this 1 hour, you'll all learn how to play the game. So that gives you an idea of just how quickly you can pick up the game. You may not be great after an hour, but it's one of the few sports that if you learn the basic rules, strategy, how to contact the ball back and forth over the net, people literally play for 1 hour. They walk out saying, oh, I think I can do this. I think I want to go back and get better. And I think it really is one of the things that's contributing to the explosion in popularity of the game because, you know, you're serving the ball underhand, under your navel. That's kind of the rule. You're contacting a wiffle ball. It's kind of a surface of the paddle that you can make contact with. So it really is kind of conducive to people like yourself who say, I don't know if I can do this. And then after, you know, just one or two lessons or clinics, you realize it's not as hard as you thought to get involved.
Okay.
Now, of course, getting to the next level takes a lot of work and practice, but in terms of you, Mark, being able to go to a local park or go to Sportheim and jump in with other adults at your level, very easy, incredibly easy. That's why so many people are doing it.
Yeah, John, I love the positivity.
I would double down and just say that is the magic of pickleball, is the barriers to entry are so much lower than tennis. It is a high skill sport, but at the entry level, it's so much easier. For the obvious reasons that the court is smaller, almost a quarter of the size, and the paddle, which is right next to your hand, it's basically an extension of your palm, and the ball travels much slower. So you don't have to have, you know, super-like reflexes and speed. Anybody can learn to hit a pickleball, and it's fun from the moment you start playing, and it's social. So that's the magic of it. You would love it.
I'm gonna pick it up this summer. I am, and maybe I'll find myself out of Randall's Island, and Joe, maybe look for a little bit of help. Claude,
whenever you're ready.
Well, Claude, I appreciate it. I need all the help I can get. Claude, let me ask you this: how important? I've interviewed Patrick and John a number of times over the years on TV and radio. You know, how important are the McEnroe brothers to the vision of the John McEnroe Tennis Academy and everything that you're doing out there in Randall's Island?
Well, I mean, we feel so lucky. They're our tennis royalty. The McEnroes are New York's tennis family. You know, John's the greatest player in the history of New York and certainly one of the greatest players in the history of tennis. He's a Hall of Famer and a multi-time Grand Slam champion, 7 singles titles, including 4 U.S. Opens, greatest Davis Cup player in history, greatest individual doubles player in history. And he, you know, most people consider him to be sort of a tennis genius. Like, he sees the game and understands the game from a tactical perspective like nobody really before or after, even though obviously modern players may have eclipsed his physical capacity. He just was a great player to watch, and most of us grew up saying, God, you know, he makes tennis so enjoyable. And now to get to have John and Patrick as our partners, they're not just giving their name to it. They're there all the time at the clubs. They come to Randall's Island where they both have offices, where they're on the court with the kids. They visit all the other sites because now we have 5 JMTA sites across our club network. And they send the kids videos from all the Grand Slams. They talk about it when they're on TV, like right, they are right now covering the French. And John was John's idea. He was ready to get off the road a bit in 2009 when we were building a new club in New York. And he said, you know, I've never been willing to put my name on anything because I wanted to make sure I could control it. And we knew each other a little. We had a professional team that Sporttime owned and that John was captain of, and Patrick owned it and played on it for a while. And we trusted each other a little bit. And so it happened. We made it happen. We figured it out. And the most important thing to John and to me was that we made sure the Academy was accessible, that it wasn't just New York's most privileged who could afford it, but that we welcomed all the kids and families who wanted it. We've been able to do that. That's the hardest part, is finding the money and resources not to have to make money on every kid, but to welcome kids who don't have any. And we've done so. In addition to building a major Academy brand, some people say it's one of the top 5 in the world, we send more kids to the big major national events than any other academy in the country, including the ones in Florida and California. We have 40 or 50 players in every gold ball event, every national championship. So nobody thought we could do it, and we've done it. And it's all about John and Patrick. And also there's a third brother, Mark, who was part of the founding of the academy. He's a lawyer. He's an excellent tennis player, but didn't play pro. So the McEnroes are, you know, very important to us. I can't really find the words, but it's pride is what I feel about what we've built together.
And congratulations to you guys there, as the Sporttime on Randall's Island was named USTA Member Organization of the Year. Joe Siegel, Senior Managing Director, and Claude Okun, the President of Sporttime. Gentlemen, continued success. Love what you guys are doing on Randall's Island. Love the evolution of pickleball. I can't play tennis, never could. Wasn't athletically gifted enough to do it, but love the fact that reaching out and bringing everyone in, and that is really, really important. And I appreciate the time on this Sunday morning, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Mark, thank you. I promise my kids I wouldn't miss the opportunity to say, go Knicks. Come on, baby.
Go Knicks. That's exactly right. Yes. Well, let's get a prediction. Joe, how many Knicks in how many games?
I'm going to go Knicks in 6.
Knicks in 6. Claude?
That's my prediction. Knicks in 6.
It's time.
It's 53 years. I'm 64, so I really cared about the 73 Knicks. I loved Monroe when he came over from Baltimore. That was my team, and I've been waiting 53 years.
It's been a long time. 1973, the last NBA title. The Knicks have been the great unifier in this city. There's no doubt about it. Everybody's on the bandwagon. Can't wait for the finals to get going on Wednesday night. Claude, Joe, thank you for the time this morning, all right? And we'll chat again soon.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care.
You got it. Yeah. You got it as well. Randall's Island, check it out. If you've never gone, if you got a young boy, a young daughter, son that want to get involved, I mean, it is a tremendous facility. It really is.